Okay, welcome to Empath of Least Resistance. I'm Annie Hardy, and today I have a special guest. Her name is Colleen, and she has a company called Style Rituals. She wrote a book called Crystal RX, Daily Rituals for Cultivating Calm, Achieving Your Goals, and Rocking Your Inner Gem Boss. And she's a shaman. What's up, Colleen?
Hey, Annie.
Hi. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
I'm so excited to hear all about this. I wanted to know first how you got called to the line of being a shaman.
Well, I got called kicking and screaming. It wasn't something that I decided I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And a long time ago in a land far, far away in New York City, I was actually in my local bodega in the middle of the night and I started hearing voices.
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit, lady. And it kind of escalated from there and I started seeing ghosts walk through the walls of my apartment. And I also was having premonition dreams and my cell phone would be face down and I would know who it was, what they wanted, and I may not have talked to that person in 5+ years.
Oh, shit.
And the real kicker was when I was walking around the streets of New York and the typical New York street weirdo would come up to me and say, "You're a healer. Your life's about to change." And all of these very prophetic things to me. And mm-hmm. of course, I was like, get the fuck away from me.
Right.
That was my response. So when I say I went kicking and screaming into this profession, I also was running, I guess.
Wow, that's so interesting. I've always thought that, you know, I always say on this show, actually, the only difference between like a psychic medium or a shaman and a schizophrenic person is like the way they view it. Like the psychic, the shaman views it as a gift because that's what it is.
Yeah.
And then the schizo views it as an illness. And so that's what it is for them too. But it's the same phenomenon, the voices, seeing things. And it's all very real. And it's so sad that our society looks at it the way that we do.
I couldn't agree with you more. I've talked to that with other people to this point that I've thought, I'm like, man, if I went into a mental institution, I feel like the amount of people that I would find in there with gifts that haven't been supported in the right way would be astronomical. And I'll share something with you really crazy. I was sitting in my neighborhood and I went to get a massage and I was actually literally thinking about this. And I was like, I feel like sometimes when we see people walking down the street with Tourette's, they're like yelling messages, or perhaps they walk past somebody and they're picking up on that person's energy and yelling out their thoughts or what's happening for that person. And so I was sitting there just trying to, like, you know, get super zen before I went into the massage in the waiting room, and this homeless man presses his face up against the window, and there's probably about, you know, 5 feet between us, and he just looks at me. And he starts, like, just listing out things I had been thinking about. And he looks at me and gives me a thumbs up and walked away.
Whoa.
It was super trippy.
Yeah.
And it just, you know, it was front of mind for me that I had been thinking about those things. I live in, I used to live in Venice. And obviously, you know, anybody that lives in the LA area know that the homeless problem there is going off. And so, you know, I walked from my house to the massage place and passed a few homeless people. And so it was very front of mind by the time I got to this massage place. And then this guy did this. And mm-hmm. I was like, okay, I just, you know, I got the confirmation that I needed.
That's so crazy when that happens. Yeah, I feel like there's like a network. I was calling it at the beginning of this year the schizo network because I had a schizophrenic. I mean, he viewed it as schizophrenic. I was like, you're a healer. Like, come on, get into it. But he's like, he was British and just like in denial of the fact it was happening. He's like, I used to think I was crazy. Now I just know I'm in touch with the universe. And so I had just started going to AA again. And there's a couple, there was two schizophrenic people in my meeting that night, and they started saying all the things that I had just been talking about with the schizo at home. And not only that, but one of them I used to be friends with. He's like this older dude. And I was like, has anyone seen this person? And they're like, no, not for a couple of years. Has he been going to meetings? The next day, he starts showing up to all the meetings and to a garage sale I was at without any advertisement of it or anything. So there's definitely something that, like, that collective unconscious, like, when we just focus on something, it starts to manifest in 3D.
That's true. And, you know, speaking to the crazy, right? So all this shit was happening to me in New York City, and I didn't have a support network in that way. I didn't know what it was. I come from a background where that's, you know, I don't come from, when you think about, like, a hippy-dippy California family. I came from a strict Irish Catholic family in the Midwest. So I didn't, not that I don't think I wouldn't have been supported in my family, but I just was like, I don't even know how to talk about this. And so I decided in my head, I was like, I need help. And literally one day it was either, I was like, maybe I should go to a mental institution and talk to somebody, or I'm going to go see the psychic. I decided on the psychic first. And, you know, it's interesting if you think about that, like, you go in and tell even a therapist or somebody, I'm hearing voices, they're going to medicate you.
Totally.
And I imagine in my head, I'm like, how different would my life be if someone had, you know, medicated me instead of supported what was going on? So.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely a conspiracy to keep us all from connecting with our spiritual, like, being, which is the truth of our being, I think. And, like, you know, everybody on this planet right now, not everybody, because a lot of people seem to be, like, waking up from the spell. That makes me think, do you watch television? Do you listen to music? Do you watch movies?
Yes.
You do? Interesting. Interesting. So wait, you went to the psychic, and then what happened?
Well, I went to the psychic, and so again, because I come in skeptically, I've never seen a psychic before. How I ended up there was a girl, a friend of mine, came up to me, and I had told no one what was happening. Mm-hmm. And she goes, hey, I had a question for you. Do you believe in psychics? And I was like, I don't really have an opinion on the subject. And she said, I think you need to go see my friend Asa Hoffman for a reading. And I thought, wow, maybe Asa knows why I'm crazy. So I made a list of all the reasons I thought I was crazy. I booked the appointment. I wouldn't tell him my last name. I would tell this man nothing, because I'm like, well, he's going to read cues or, like, look me up, right, or whatever. Not that you could even find anything, but I was like, he'll find something, and this is false, right? The action of meeting him didn't feel like it would be true. So he opens the door and just looks at me, and he's like, oh, honey, you're not crazy. You're psychic. Ugh. Come sit down. We have to have a really long talk. And he said, your life's about to change. And I was thinking, I was like, well, I've heard that one before. And he said, you're going to leave fashion, and you're going to move to California. And again, I said, fuck that, like, to all those things. And, well, he was obviously very true.
Right. That's so crazy. Wow. And so did he kind of mentor you and teach you how to come into your gift properly?
You know, I think he was definitely the gateway. Mm-hmm. He told me I actually needed to get a mentor, and he said, you know, it wasn't him. He asked me to read a bunch of books, and then he said, find your mentor. And I'm like, well, how the fuck do you find a spiritual mentor? I'm like, I'm so, like, a fish out of water at that point. And, you know, when the student is ready, the teacher will show, and the universe will provide. And this woman showed up into my life. Her name is Marissa Powell, and she became my mentor. And I worked with her once a week for 3 years, helping me to understand my gift before I ever even went down the shamanic path. Yeah. So she, just...
Wow. And that was out here or somewhere else?
Well, you know what's interesting about that? So at the time, I would have been living in Brooklyn. She was a long distance energy healer in San Francisco. And again, I at the time didn't know what that meant. And oddly enough, a friend goes, I think you should talk to this woman. Yeah. And it was Marissa. And so I was like, well, what's a long distance energy healer? And she said, she's going to come through the phone and heal you. And I was like, okay, I have fucking heard everything now. And, but at that point I was feeling so out of body and out of my mind and just uncomfortable. I was like, okay, let's give this a try. Mm-hmm. And so she said, lay on the ground, put your headset in and just be open to what she's telling you. She's going to call you, blah, blah, blah. And so I did that. And the hair's like, again, because I have to be shown the hard way. I was laying there and she started just kind of breathing to open her space to do the healing work. And all of a sudden I felt my pelvis just jump like someone had taken the chest pads, like the heart attack chest pads, and put them on there. And I didn't say anything. Like, I'm just laying on my floor staring at the ceiling with my eyes like super open. Mm-hmm. She goes, that's better. I had to readjust your hips before we could start working together.
Holy shit.
That's what I said. And I actually had never told her that happened, but I was like, okay, she did come through the phone. I don't know what that means, mm-hmm. but I'm going to at least finish this session. And, you know, she pulled me along kicking and screaming. She's obviously a very patient lady. Mm-hmm. But it was like, I still didn't understand what was happening after our first session. But what I did know was that I felt better.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, well, I'll try it again. And I kept going back and going back. And it was, you know, it was helping me to feel more centered and to be able to walk around in the world as an empath, mm-hmm. To really understand what was happening to me and what I, you know, in a very good way could do and become, you know, a positive member of society with this gift.
Right.
And so, you know, our time together was priceless and I'm so grateful to her.
Did she charge you for it?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
I've always been curious about that in mentorship, like if it costs money. I actually had a Reiki master accidental mentor who accidentally gave me a Reiki attunement, and my story's all fucked up. And she was an ex-porn star, current prostitute, and girlfriend of Charlie Sheen at the time.
Oh.
Yeah, so I don't know what kind of devil stuff she put into me, but, you know, it worked. And, you know, she's like, oops, I think I gave you an attunement because I was, like, laughing and stuff. And then that really changed my life. A couple weeks later, I had, like, a UTI, and I was able to just pull it out and throw it away. And I was like, oh, my God, it's gone. And then I was like, holy crap, this is not the world I thought I was living in.
Yeah.
And then the more of that skepticism that I got rid of, the more happy I was, because I was like, oh, this is not, you know, it's like every false belief you hold is in the way of you being happy and free and joyous, because you're holding this like false vibration within your being, and that sucks.
So yeah. True.
So did you have a near death experience as a child?
I did. I had a couple, actually. The one wasn't so traumatic compared to the other one, but I almost, like, to make a very long story short, I almost drowned when I was rafting with a bunch of Girl Scouts.
Oh my gosh.
And I got stuck under the raft for like 5 minutes and no one could find me. And I was stuck under it like a pancake.
Oh my God.
And I kept saying, whoever grabbed my ankle. And everyone kept saying, nobody grabbed your ankle. We saw you pop out. And I was like, no, someone grabbed my ankle. I felt it. Like, I felt a really strong hand. So that was like the low grade near death. And the bigger one was when I was 19. I went into a somewhat comatose state for 9 months. And the doctors had no idea what was wrong with me. And it just seemed like the only way I could put it is like my organs kind of started shutting down. Everything felt like it was shutting down and kind of going haywire. My ears rang constantly for 9 months. I had stabbing pains in my stomach. I was so weak I couldn't sit up. I had constant vertigo. Obviously, I was losing all this weight. And I mean, there was 1,000 more things happening. And they would take me to the doctor every week and they'd test me for everything there's a test for. Wow. Nothing was wrong. And so they were also trying to tell my parents it was psychosomatic. They're like, look at this kid. Like, yeah. She's super healthy and, you know, a super happy, healthy kid. And all of a sudden I just got like struck down one day. I had severe memory loss during this time.
Wow.
And I kept ending up in the hospital because I would just stop breathing.
What?
And to this day, no. And so what the crazy part is, obviously my parents, and I'm so lucky, my mom is a nurse. So she's somewhat equipped to be dealing with something of this nature. And of course they were trying everything. And oddly enough, about, you know, 9 months in, somebody sent my mom and myself to a homeopath. And so all I know is that this man gave me a really smelly, foul tasting tea. And within 2 weeks, I started feeling better.
Did you drink it once or every day?
Every day, many times a day. And it was disgusting. Ugh. But it completely, you know, I believe it started to help me get better from whatever this was.
And he didn't tell you what it was?
He didn't know either. Nobody knew.
Did he do muscle testing on you?
If he did, I kind of don't remember. I was very out of it.
Right.
I was very, very, very sick. And, you know, I truly, again, another, like Marissa with helping me with my healing skills, like this man also really like saved my life.
Right.
And, you know, it was very, very scary.
Sounds like it. Shit. To me, I mean, I don't know. What are your beliefs as far as like demons, angels?
I mean, I think there are positive and negative forces out mm-hmm. there. And, you know, I think they also show up to everybody in a different manner.
Right.
But I do think there are, you know, there is the dark and the light. There's dark and light in everything we do.
Totally.
Yeah.
Because I'm of the belief that like weird ass diseases like that, although I'm sure at some point some Dr. House type figure could have figured it out.
Yeah.
But that shit to me is where it's like the doctors can't figure it out and they don't know. That to me is a demon. Spirit of infirmity trying to fuck your shit up, you know. I've had too many weird disorders and diseases, none of which anyone could ever help me with, you know. They're yeah. like, oh, I think you got fibromyalgia. Like, I didn't have fibromyalgia. And then when right after my accidental attunement, I went to the doctor because this rash was breaking out my whole body. And the 7th doctor I saw for this rash was searching rash on Wikipedia in front of me. And I was like, is this a joke? Like, thank you very much, sir. Yeah. I'll work on it myself. And as soon as I like made that decision, like, I'm just going to fix it myself, which had never been my MO. I was very much like a reactive person, like a person who loves to blame other people and just live my life in response to what's going on around me. Not realizing that I'm making everything happen. So as soon as I decided that, my full body rash went away. And, like, things really started to switch into, like, high gear.
Yeah. You know, that's really interesting. It's like you're asking about the dark or the light. I think, you know, if you really want to look at it, even from a shamanic perspective, that there was something in your body that wasn't yours. Yeah. You know, it doesn't even matter if it's dark or light, it wasn't yours.
Totally.
And so whether that it was a thought form or something physical, it manifested somehow in your body. And until you were ready to release it,
yeah.
it was going to hang out.
Yeah, because whether it's a demon or whatever, it's coming to teach you something.
Exactly.
And so from where we're at in your story, how did you come to be choosing shamanism from there? From, like, basically, you just thought you're psychic.
Yeah.
And then the energy healer. And then were you like, oh, well, maybe I'm an energy healer? Or how did it go to Shamanville?
How did I go to Shamantown? Mm-hmm. Kicking and screaming still. So actually this woman, Marissa, I keep talking about, actually one of our very last sessions together, she told me that I needed to go to shaman school. And I was like, what is that? Mm-hmm. And because at this point, like, I was doing all of this work in silence, nobody knew. And it wasn't about becoming a healer. It was about getting well and being able to go back and do my job as a fashion stylist and designer. Right. That was like the only thing I had on my mind was like, well, I'm either going to shut the voices down. That would have been like my first choice, or I'm going to work with whatever this is. Mm-hmm. And so I was actually in Joshua Tree for a photo shoot, and she did not know that. So as far as she knew, I was in Brooklyn.
Right.
She's in San Francisco. And it was one of the last things she said to me about going to school. And I was like, no. And I started fighting her on it. And she goes, well, you know what? The place I would like you to go is called the Four Winds. Could you at least just look at the school? You're right down the street from it. And she hung up the phone on me.
Whoa.
And I was like, how's she know I'm somewhere else? And I look up the school and it was 11 miles down the street from where I was staying. And I was like, crap, now I have to go to shaman school. But then I showed up at shaman school and I still went kicking and screaming. And I was like, okay, I'm going to give this a day, an hour actually. I said an hour, half a day, if I make it to lunch, one day at a time. And the crazy part was I had a major spiritual experience when I got there. Right before I left, I had been going through my jewelry box and I had found these two matching Alex and Ani charm bracelets that had St. Christopher on them. And I had met the owner a while back and I had gotten these bracelets and they were in the back of my jewelry box. I'm like, I don't really resonate with St. Christopher. But I had to take them with me. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, I'm like, okay, my intuition told me so. But at the time, I was like, why do I need these bracelets for? Yeah. So I get there. We get to class. The teachers are up in the front of the room. And they're like, okay, we're going to teach you a healing technique. There's 100 people probably in the class. And they said, you have to pair off two by two. The guy I get paired with, his name is Christopher.
Of course.
And I was like, okay, mildly weird. But in my head, I was like, well, every guy's name could be Christopher. That's what I told myself. So he lays down on the floor. And also the teacher said, you know, the student obviously has the right to not tell you what's going on. So if somebody doesn't want to talk about it, don't mm-hmm. push them. And so this guy comes over. He's kind of grumpy. And he sits down. He's like, I don't want to talk about it. And I was like, seriously? Like, my first time out of the gate with this shit. And you, like, won't tell me anything because I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And so he lays down in front of me and I kind of start to do what the teacher had instructed. And all of a sudden I feel a dead guy behind me and I didn't turn around, but I knew what he looked like, what his name was and what he was wearing. And, I bent down and I knew it was for this guy, Christopher. And I said, Dave is here. And Christopher starts getting really emotional.
Oh,
I know. And I was like not comfortable. And at the same time, like the room is like super zen and quiet. And mm-hmm. he starts like, you know, crying. I'm like, shh, 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 please, no, don't do this to me. And I said, you know, Dave is tall and he has dark hair. And he kind of has like an East Coast accent, but it's not New York. And he's wearing a blue fleece zip up that has a crest on it. And he says to stop blaming yourself. Now, Chris is like really upset. And, you know, I actually kind of never really finished the healing that I was supposed to do because this whole thing happened. So Chris sits up and I was like, you know, dude, I'm not trying to be in your business, but what is this? And he said the person I was asking for healing around was his best friend, Dave, who had died 20 years ago. And he had died on his 21st birthday. The guys like all went to the bar, and Chris was an EMT, apparently. I didn't know this. And so was Dave, EMT firefighters. And he said that fleece zip up is what we wore around the firehouse. And he said that is, you know, I told him tall, dark hair. He's like, yeah, that's Dave. And apparently they got super drunk and they took Dave home, and Dave died of alcohol poisoning on the couch. And so Chris is like, terrible. I should have seen the signs. I should have taken him to the hospital. And so, you know, because of his background as an EMT, he's like, you know, obviously really beating himself up about this. Okay. So I was like, all right, I'm going to go back. You know, this was a long first day of shaman school, so I'm going to go back to my room now. And in the middle of the night, Dave the deceased wakes me up and is standing in the corner. Oh, I'm like, hi. And he said, those bracelets are for my mother and my sister. They're okay with me being gone, but they just want to know I'm somewhere, type of thing. And he said, so Chris knows you're not bullshitting. He shares the same name as my sister, and like zips out of the room. And I was like, but wait. And so now I'm like, oh my God, I've got to go in and tell this guy this shit. Like,
wait, did the ghost really say bullshitting?
Yeah, the ghosts swear, everyone that's listening.
Oh, crazy.
A lot of times, like, you know, spirits can come in all forms. And, you know, I'm a big believer that spirits come to you in the form that your brain is going to recognize or understand. And so this one came as a swearing firefighter from Boston. So the Chris would recognize him too, right. You know? So I go back into school with these bracelets, and I walk up to, you know, my new friend, and I said, hey, so does Dave have a sister? And he said nothing, and his face went white. And I was like, I'm going to take that as a yes. And I said, and is her name Kristen? And then his face goes red. And he said, who told you about Chrissy? Chrissy doesn't have Facebook, and Chrissy this and Chrissy that. And I was like, well, Dave told me, so you need to slow down. And I told him about the bracelets, and he looks at me and goes, well, how the fuck am I supposed to go home to my friend's Irish Catholic family, mirror, mirror on the wall here? And he said, and tell them this, and they don't even know I'm here, you know? So there's this whole thing. And I was like, that's your problem.
Yeah. That's a one.
I got enough problems of my own. And so he goes back and calls me a couple weeks later and said that he actually did go see the family. And they actually were looking for a sign. Apparently they're like, you know, praying and asking for Dave to show. And what's really creepy, this is the creepy cherry on top. The sister had one thing of Dave's, and it was his high school ring. And she lost it a couple weeks before we went to shaman school. And she said she was praying to Dave to bring her something of his. And so the bracelet replaced the ring.
Oh, shit.
And so he called me and told me all this. And again, I'll say I still didn't exactly understand what was happening to me, but I knew that I had whatever was these, you know, psychic gifts were helping somebody. And so I guess in true fashion stylist style, I could say I ended up in shaman school because of charm bracelets.
Wow. That's crazy. Wow. Wow, so cool. So from shaman school, did you then, you're like, all right, it's on. I'm becoming a shaman.
I still wasn't like, all right, it's on. I was like, all right, I will show up to class, and I will still do this in secret for the next so many years.
Right.
And so, again, nobody knew, and I would continue about my job in fashion, and I would disappear and take classes in Joshua Tree, New York, and South America. And I would come back to set on Monday like nothing had happened, and I did this work in silence. I also never planned on doing anything with it. Again, I was like, I just need to get well, whatever that means. Mm-hmm. And it actually wasn't until the end of my studies, so that was another 3 years, that I really wanted to do this professionally, or thought, I was like, oh, wait a minute, this does have, you know, like use or value, mm-hmm. in the light, if you will, in the light of day, because I had been doing this work when nobody was looking.
Totally.
And I have another story if you'd like me to share.
Yes.
So again, one time at shaman school, I was in this class. It was the divination class. So this was the one then you were like learning to read cards and crystals and dowsing water
rods.
And dowsing rods, exactly, and pendulums and, you know, all that type of stuff. There's a specific class around it. And the teacher says, well, tonight we're going to have a psychic fair of sorts. And what's going to happen is everybody needs to come as their alter ego.
Oh, shit.
And you're going to do mini readings for people. And the idea around it, right, is just to learn in a quick fashion how to like tap into all these different energies. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, well, I just got invited to a party. And the first thing I thought was, what am I going to wear? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I have to go. So I was at Omega. So I'm like an hour and a half up the Hudson from New York City. And the next week was Fashion Week. And I thought, okay, well, all I have are all my clothes I'm going to wear, like, you know, my press clothes and to go to parties and stuff like that. That's all I had with me, and some, you know, yoga pants and stuff that I was wearing to class. And so I was like, crap, what am I going to do? And I'm like, I keep searching my suitcase, like for some, like, you know, fabulous, like mystical piece to show. And it didn't. But the thing that ended up being the mystical piece was, I was like, I'm going to go in my fashion stylist clothes. And so I put on stilettos and I blew my hair out and I got ready to go to this party at night. And I thought, okay, well, what does a fashion psychic wear? And, or not wear, or well, wear, but also read with, right?
Right.
And I was like, okay, I mean, I have these things we're working with and tarot cards and crystals, but what would a fashion psychic do? And I was like, I need a fashion magazine, because a fashion magazine to me is just a giant stack of tarot cards.
Yeah, you just open it randomly to a page or something.
That's exactly right. And so I was like, but where am I going to get a fashion magazine? I'm in the middle of the woods with a bunch of hippies.
Right.
And so I'm like running across the campus to the bookstore, and I come in, I'm like, and the guy looks at me in like full judgment. He's like, she got off on the wrong stop of the Metro North. Like, New York City is that way. And I was like, hey, do you have a fashion magazine? The judgment continued. And he's just like, no. And I was like, Woman's Health? No. Something from Oprah or the Dalai Lama? Anything, a pamphlet? And he's like, no. So this girl taps me on the shoulder and says, hey, I'm a photographer from Australia. I overheard you. I have the September issue of Vogue in my room. Let me give it to you. And so I like run with her to her cabin and get this magazine. And then I run to class and I open the door and everybody stops. It's like a record stopping moment, because if you can believe this, I was the quietest student in class. Nobody knew anything about me. I never talk. I never ask questions. And now I like, you know, came in with my hair blown out and lame and
like a movie,
like everything else.
The makeover. You.
That's pretty much what happened. And I was like, because there was only like 20 people in the class at that time, and I was like, well, hi guys. This is actually how I go to work during the time. I know you're my normal work time. I know you see me in yoga pants and a dirty top knot, but here we are. And so I was like, okay, I need a reading space. And so there was a red yoga mat and two red meditation poofs in the corner. And I was like, well, that's my red carpet. So I sat down and I had the person sit down on the other side. And I said, pick a page between 1 and 402. And somebody picked whatever page they picked. And all of a sudden I got scared because I was like, what the fuck am I doing? I don't know how to read a fashion magazine. And the page she picked was a Marc Jacobs bag ad, and it had this tall, androgynous female model, and she had a big like travel bag in front of her naked body. And I looked at it and I was like, oh, so you're changing your entire therapy practice, and you want to work with people that are, you know, struggling in our society with gender identity issues and, you know, how they, you know, walk forward in the world. And, you know, her face went white and she's like, that's literally what I'm here working on. Wow. And I was like, I tore out the page and, you know, I said, hey, good luck to you. Like, have an awesome journey with that. And I wanted to give her something to remember the reading by, like a post-it note from the universe. So I tore the photo out and gave it to her. And then somebody else came up and they picked one of the last pages, which it's all the credits. So it's the like tiny words you can't even read. And mm-hmm. by now it like caught on in the room what I was doing. And she's like, haha, there's no pictures. Have fun with that. And I was like, no, this is perfect. You're writing a book. And I said, and I know you're fighting with your lawyer right now about the price. And I know you also don't know which continent to release it on first. And again, she goes white. And she said, nobody knows I'm writing a book, but you're correct. And I was like, well, I said, I know, but I won't tell anybody. And so I was like, I'm onto something. And then I thought, well, if I can read a fashion magazine, I can read a closet.
Oh, shit.
And so I decided that I was going to go back into my community and working in fashion, beauty, and entertainment with all the people that I've, you know, been surrounded by for the last 15 years and work with them in a different way. And so my fashion clients became my healing clients.
Wow.
And so that, again, that Vogue magazine, like the charm bracelets, really shifted gears in my vision on what my future looked like in the working world.
That's cool. So can you just like walk into a space and you get a pretty, like when you walked in here, what kind of read were you getting?
I do. Yeah. I mean, any room I go into or any person or any place, like I feel things. Mm-hmm. And I think it's been a training to learn how to kind of, you know, silence that when I need to, so that I can just like, I've got to go out and get coffee. Like this, that doesn't necessarily need to be my spiritual experience for the day. I just want to be human and go get coffee. I can tell you when I walked up to the house, it felt very vibratory. Mm-hmm. That's like the word I have for it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I remember I stood there and I kind of like was in front of the house and I looked left and I looked right, and it was, the house that had the most energy on the street is the best way to put it. That was just like my first intake. And then I had to like shut that off. I'm like, I got to call Annie. I got to, you know, I have to do all these human things. And like, I forgot about it, but it's, yeah.
Hopefully it's good vibrations.
Good vibes.
Demons or something.
Nope. All good vibes.
I have struggled with some of that here, but I feel like this house is like some sort of like spiritual portal sometimes, like especially in the bathroom.
Oh, well, that's an interesting point, because so statistically, spiritual activity happens the most in the kitchen and the bathroom when someone goes, oh my God, I saw a ghost, or like the mirror broke or things fell or whatever kind of like crazy, creepy thing someone's going to say. And that's because water and metal are conductors of spirit and of electricity. And as we know, like spirit a lot of times communicates like through electrical wires, right? That's why the lights
in my
flicker.
Kitchen, the lights flicker all the time.
Yeah.
When something's coming in or going out, and I'm always like, oh, there's your answer. And I opted to like tile my floors in the bathroom by myself with pennies.
I saw
pennies.
That. I like it.
Thanks. But that would make sense. It already was a portal, but then I've been like putting actual metal flake on windowsills and sink. So I guess I've been amping it up without even realizing.
You have.
Interesting, interesting. Huh. Yeah, I like to walk by the houses on my street or wherever I am and like tune in to like, you know, the energy coming from it. But then I've kind of stopped doing it because it's usually kind of depressing. Like, there's a lot of bad energy out in the world right now. Would you agree?
I would definitely say there's some challenging energy out there.
Very challenging. Yeah. I feel like a lot of people are living in that fear frequency from that place of lack. Like, there's not enough. I won't have enough money if I quit my shitty job and go do what my spirit wants me to do. And it's like, bro, there's not enough money anyway. Like, just go do it. And you get, it seems like life, you know, rises to meet you and you get taken care of in the craziest ways when you just like follow your spirit.
Well put.
But I feel like most people are like really, really skeptical and they're like, you know, I don't even believe in God. So I definitely don't believe in like, you know, anything that I'm saying. People just think I'm crazy most of the time. Except the smart ones who they know I'm onto something. Do you have to deal with a lot of skeptics in day-to-day life? Or do you still keep your shamanism a little bit on the down low?
Oh, there is no down low anymore. I knew when I started my website, you know, it was out in the world.
Right.
And an Instagram account that everybody was going to see me. And it was really like a coming out for me. And I had to go around to everybody, including my parents, about what I had secretly been doing for about 5 years. And, you know, for me, I was like, oh my gosh. I mean, in that capacity, my career was over anyways. Like, I was going to go do something else, but I was like, I'm going to lose all my fashion friends. And, you know, my parents are going to excommunicate me. You know, you think the worst, right? And I had two very common responses with everyone when I told them what I'd been up to. There was a silence first, and then they'd go, oh, that explains a few things you said to me. And I was like, what do you mean? And they were like, you would just start on set talking about something that like was a secret or something that happened in my day, but you weren't there or something like that. Or they'd say, oh, can I get a reading? And it was just, you know, they didn't miss a beat. And, you know, it got me in trouble once on set before I really knew what was happening. I was backstage and a VP of a company came back and she wanted her like black suit lint rolled. And I was like, yeah, sure. So I was doing that, getting all the fuzzies off before she went on stage. And she was talking. And I said, oh, don't worry about it. I was like, blah, 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 when the baby gets here. I didn't even think about it. And all I could just feel her body language change. And I looked up at her and she goes, who told you I was pregnant? And I was like, and she goes, only two people know. So that means one of my friends has like broken my confidence. It's a secret. And I was like, I don't know who they are. I won't tell anybody. I don't care. You know, I was like, but she obviously got very angry and then got angry at her friends when at the time, if I would have known what it was, I could have been like, oh, I'm psychic, like blah, blah, blah. But, you know, it was causing a ruckus instead of, you know, bringing healing or joy or whatever it needed to bring information to people. So
do you think that's because you were like just not in the right place to be having that stuff? So it was creating chaos.
Yeah, I was totally not in the right place. And of course, and like I've heard so many women echo this and why I think it's important to talk about it. When all of this started, I was my late 20s. So I'm approaching my Saturn return, which we know is when everything goes upside down.
Right. What's your sign, by the way?
Oh, I'm a Virgo. All right. Yeah, poor planny organized Virgo got caught in a shitstorm.
What's your rising and moon sign?
So a Sagittarius rising and a Scorpio moon.
Oh, interesting. Whoa. I'm Gemini with Scorpio rising, Leo moon. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's ruckus. Well, so yeah, you Sagittarius and Virgo, aren't those both earth signs?
No, Sag is fire.
Oh, it's a fire sign.
Yeah, and Virgo is earth.
Right.
And Scorpio is water.
Scorpio's water. Yeah, Scorpio is a wild card, but like Virgos, I feel like are very like skeptical, like grounded. So this makes sense why you're so resistant to
it. Oh yeah, I was fighting it the whole way.
Wow. And now today, you love it, right?
I do. I love it. I'm totally out of the shamanic closet and doing this full time, and to the point that I actually do speak engagements and working with different companies and doing private readings, all based around everything that had happened to me and style rituals had formed from all these crazy experiences. And living like a shaman all day, every day.
Living like shaman low.
That's right.
So what do you do at you just opened an office or a studio in Santa Monica, California here. And so do people make appointments with you, come in for different treatments, or how's that work?
Yeah. So I had a little healing studio in Venice and have just moved to Santa Monica, and I feel super blessed because I went into, we all lovingly call it the Crystal Cave. I started this little healing hut with two of my friends, and one is a shamanic facialist. Her name is Julie Pollier. And then a woman who I actually knew from when I worked in fashion and beauty named Andy Scarborough, who does ritual hair treatments and haircuts. Both of them have had like shamanic training, and they're Reiki masters and, you know, other modalities that they've studied. And so we have a little studio. We each have our own room, and we're set up for practice, and people can go to stylerituals.com and book a session online. We don't do any walk-ins, so people have to book appointments. But it's been nice too, because we've started to see like clients cross-pollinate, and people come in and get multiple services while they're there. So that's been really cool.
That is so cool. Are you seeing like more quote unquote normal society people are like into this? We're seeing more than just like the spiritual community come in for treatment?
I do. I do get a lot of, and again, because it's my mirror, I get closet healers that want to come out and do the work, or I get the people that are in a corporate job and want to change the healing, because those are part of my mirror and my story. But I am starting to just get, if we think about people that aren't into, that don't have any type of spiritual modality that they work with, that they're just coming in and it's more of a like, this thing is happening, right? Like, how do I'm feeling something, like I don't know what to do with that. I don't have words for it. And I think people are more curious and they are coming in looking for something. I think it's wonderful, right?
Yeah. Because when people have that, like when people are seeking answers, I mean, that's what happened to me. Like I had been, narcissistically abused, and it like reset my whole being. I was like, so traumatic that I was resensitized to everything. That's when I couldn't, like my whole life changed, because I couldn't be around the frequency of a television. I didn't want to listen to music anymore, and like never liked movies to begin with, but and I needed an answer, like what the fuck is going on? And I just followed, that white rabbit, which went from one thing, it's like called him a psycho, and then I found out narcissists, and then I found out about empaths, and I was like, whoa, like this is real. Like I was like, I'm either an empath or I have borderline personality disorder or something like that. And I was like, I'm going to go with the empath thing, because I don't think I'm like this one. I don't think I got a BPD. But and then I realized like, oh shit, this takes so much pressure off me. Like, anytime that I felt like you know, negative emotions, like, they're not mine, like, to suffer under. Like, they're just moving through. And I can just, like, be like, oh, okay. And then I started having the mirror and meeting so many people who had just been, like, severely narcissistically abused for, like, the purposes of helping them heal. Actually, for up until recently, I ran an Airbnb here. And, like, every one of my guests would be, like, just, you know, just leaving an abusive marriage or something like that. And, like, the degree of, like, spiritual, like, experiences I've had with guests is, like, incredible, you know? I've had at least three different girls who could have been, like, my sister, you know? And just, like, it's been very validating and cool. But then, ultimately, I'm just tired of having people stay in my house, so...
Fair enough.
Shut it down. But, yeah, it comes whatever way you let it come, I guess. So do you think, like... What do you think's happening out in the world as far as, like... Cause it seems like we're in some, like... Whether you want to call it end times or, like, a great awakening, the dawning of the age of Aquarius. Like, what do you think's going on?
I think there's definitely... There is some type of awakening happening on this planet because due to the question that you asked, like, you know, the term regular people is not fair, but saying people that just, like, haven't been into this and all of a sudden, like, the masses, right, are, like, coming for this. There's crystals everywhere. Like, the amount of people that want to engage with spiritual practices, ancient mystery schools, right, priestesshood, moon ceremonies, like, all this stuff, like, the numbers are just growing. And because I remember when I was studying, there was barely anything. Right. There was, you couldn't find all this online. So I do think it's definitely, the interest is growing because the need is growing and more people want to know and they want answers. And they're also not finding, wherever it might be, they're not finding answers or peace or solitude or happiness in the places that they were finding it before. Right. And so they're just looking for something else. And I think, you know, I wouldn't exactly, I'm not totally speaking about shamanism, but, you know, many, many spiritual modalities in the way that, like, if it ain't broke, and shamanism has been around for 5,000 plus years and has been helping people. And, you know, it's like, let's continue on with that practice and just make it that and any other spiritual modality to fit in a modern way that works. Like, there should be an app for that.
Yeah, totally. Have you done ayahuasca or ibogaine or 5-MeO-DMT?
You know, it's really interesting. I'm probably one of the only shamans I know that hasn't gotten into plant medicine. It has just never been a calling to me, but I know a whole lot of people that definitely dive into plant medicine. Not that I won't do it, but I just would probably leave it at, like, I haven't been called to do it yet.
Right. Seems pretty intense.
It's very intense.
A friend of mine who's, like, a brilliant songwriter and who was hearing voices and gets strung out on drugs sometimes, like, he did ibogaine to get off of it. And, like, and everyone I know who's done the frog or toad pus DMT is just like, oh, it's the most life-changing, transformative thing. I'm like, fuck, man, I want to do that, but I'm, like, doing sobriety AA shit right now instead.
Okay.
But I feel like medicine, you know, I know there's people in AA who are like, you know, marijuana is medicine. And I'm like, no, I'm pretty sure the medicine part is just the CBD that's non-psychoactive maybe, but but whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, I think... I've watched a couple documentaries about this and also just being around it by proximity. At least, like, you know, let's speak to two things. People are, like, looking for answers and awakening, or they're trying to maybe deal with some major, like, sickness in their life. Yeah. These are two big groups of people that are going after, like, ayahuasca and other, you know, intense psychedelics. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I forget what it was, but there's, I was reading an article somewhere that all these like tech executives have been flying to South America to engage with plant medicine because they're looking for new ideas in the tech industry.
Wow, that's crazy.
It is crazy. And at the same time, I've also seen, I totally can't remember the name, but I watched this documentary and they were following 10 people that were severely ill and they all had different stuff.
Oh, I think I've seen it. And yeah. They go and they take ayahuasca.
Yeah. And there's a, you know, there's a doctor present. They're like, you know, checking their blood and their vitals like every second of the day. And I think it was like, you know, 8 of the 10 people just made either a full or like massive recovery from something that they shouldn't have recovered from. That in, you know, Western medicine would have been like, nope, sorry, like there's no hope for you.
Right.
And they were going there and engaging with plant medicine and seeing great change.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, for the people that it's right for, whoever you may be, I think it's a, you know, it's a possibility.
Yeah. I don't like to drink anything that tastes bad. So I don't know that that would be right for me. At least the ayahuasca. It looks like you got to drink teas or something. And everybody in the documentary, they drink it and they're like, ugh. I couldn't do that. If I had to do an ayahuasca enema, that would be a different story.
Okay. Because
you can't taste it, you know? Like, I can't drink a lot of flax seed or whatever that shit that you drink for constipation. No thanks. Yeah. I'll take it back in the back door, though.
Yeah.
I don't know what that all means, but I have like no tolerance for things that are disgusting. Do you get to do anything disgusting, like blows, you know, like dust on people or like any like ancient shaman practices?
There's definitely a lot of ancient shamanic practices I've engaged with and been trained in. And when those skills are called upon, I will use them.
Like spitting something.
So, well, oh yeah, the spinning thing. So that's actually, you're talking about, it's called either Florida water or spirit water.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's actually used when, like, if you see someone getting spit at, they're getting their energy field cleared. Mm-hmm. You can clear crystals that way using Florida water. You can do all these different kinds of things with it. It's clearing the air. It has all these different ways to use it. So that's actually, you know, it's not like someone spitting at someone, like some weird, disrespectful thing. They're actually trying to help them.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what that spitting thing is all about.
Cool. And what about, you know, even I've done this. Sometimes I'll be doing healing on people and I'll go and like try to suck something out with my mouth and then go, you know.
Okay.
You do that one.
So that's that's a very ancient way of taking energy out of people. And they've found some safer ways to do that because, you know, you talk to some like old school shamans, right? And their older generations, there's shamans that suck energy out of people's bodies and then they'll throw up, right? Because they like take it in for a hot minute and then they obviously puke it out into the earth.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what your body is kind of like intuitively telling you to do is something very old. I would also tell you don't do that unless you kind of have some training and just even some parameters around what that is, because I would never want to see anyone come to harm around, you know, you're like, I know I do this. I feel comfortable with it. Like, this is a good thing, but getting some parameters around when you do that.
I don't even really do much energy healing anymore because I started to be like, become trepidatious about it for some reason. I guess I have an inner conflict in me of like, you know, my more spirituality and my more like, you know, Jesus-y shit, you know.
Okay.
I didn't want to be a Christian, but here I am. You know? It was shown to me Jesus is real, and it just kind of ruined everything that I liked, you know. Tarot cards, crystals, you know, witchcraft, really. And then I was like, oh, fuck, but this guy, this is, like, real? Like, no. This ruins my whole party, you know. And now... I'm working it in as best as I can, but really, it doesn't pay to be gangbanging for Jesus in today's, you know, today's world. Last night, I probably shouldn't talk about this because of the anonymous aspect. Last night, I was at a meeting, and the speaker of the meeting walked his wife in there on a dog chain and collar. And then I was like, what's going on here? And then, yeah, he was the speaker. His name was Master Tom or whatever. And his wife, Slave, whatever her name was. And I was just like, wow. This is a trip, you know? And, like, people like that are, like, thinking they're persecuted by the world and stuff. He's like, you know, you've heard of LGBTQA? I'm Q. And I was like, what does that mean? I thought it meant queer, like homosexual. But it means queer, like, in the 50s way. Like, that's fucking queer looking. Like, this guy's walking his wife on a chain and whatnot. And ultimately, I think everybody in the room was, like, super stoked. Like, people were sharing afterward. They're crying. They're like, I think it's so beautiful. He's like, the jump ring on my wife's collar represents our unity or something. And I'm like, oh, this is just, like, I don't have one in judgment either way. People can do what they want, but, like, something's up in the world. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's good or bad. I mean, it's got to be good because it's happening. Yeah, but sometimes things got to get rough before they... It's always darkest before the dawn.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. Dark night of the soul and whatnot. Let's see if I have any questions on the back here. Oh, yeah, I did. I was wondering... What is your take on the idea of twin flames?
Ooh.
If you have an opinion.
Well, I think it's the idea. I wouldn't exactly, you know, it's not your other half.
Yeah.
So to say, not like you're, because I think when you look at it that you're, it's like, well, I'm not a whole person.
Right.
Right. But I do think it's, you know, if you actually look at it like another person that mirrors you, that you have, you know, good, bad, or ugly, a lot of karma with that you came here to sort that out, and someone that's a major mirror for you. We also don't know. I mean, are these twins or triplets, right?
Or quadruplets,
right?
Quintuplets? I feel like they're more like great multitude, you know? Because it just started in like 2012 or something. And it's like, these twin flames are all over the fucking place.
Yeah.
It's like, you get one, you're like, that's twin flame. And then he goes away and you're like, you meet another one. You're like, this fool's a twin flame. You know, like, I think maybe we're all just becoming one unit again. Like we started out or something.
One big fire.
Yeah. Cause I don't remember having this much in common with people back in the day, like to where everyone I meet is like mirror, mirror, mirror. That's even with those schizos, that story I was telling the AA meeting. Like at one point, all this, there's like two schizos in the room and one of them goes, the mirror. And then the other one's like, the mirror. And it broke out into mayhem for a second. The mirror, the mirror. And I was like, ah, that's what the schizo at home had been telling me. Like, every time I'd complain to him about something, he'd say, the mirror. And I'd be like, oh, you need to shut it with this mirror shit, bro. But it's true. Everything that we see that bothers us or that's good is our own shit.
Yeah.
We can't perceive outside of the filter of ourselves, can we?
No.
Well, son of a bitch. That's good to know. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. This has been wonderful.
It's been my pleasure.
So people can go to stylerituals.com and check out.
Correct. They can make an appointment there or find me on Instagram at style_rituals. And yeah.
Cool. Well, thank you so much. Thank you guys for listening. Remember, what you focus on expands and grows in this life. So go out into the world, spread love and not your butt cheeks. And we'll see you next time on Empath of Least Resistance. Bye.
Bye.